when I was a kid, I was quite a fan of yours. I'll ask you several questions, and if you would just please answer them as long or as short as you feel fit, okay?
Fine.
You started playing professionally in 1941. You were 20 years old. You played in the Pioneer League for 2 years, and you just tore them up there. 42 wins in 2 years.
Yeah.
What was the story? Why'd you stay there 2 years and you were doing so well?
Well, I was on a independent club, and the guys that owned the club wanted more money for me than anybody wanted to pay.
Well, I guess you were probably worth it to him. So what happened?
That's the way it turned out.
Did Sacramento finally buy you?
No, it was a long story. I went in the service, and I forget whether I was sold or drafted by the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh.
And my contract was shifted to the, I think it was Columbus in the South Carolina League or Southern League or someplace down there. And when that league folded, well, then they shipped me to another league.
Uh-huh.
And when that league folded, well, then they shifted me to Sacramento of the Coast League.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did that, well, in the agreement with Sacramento, well, at the end of the war, well, they had the pick of serviceman off of their roster, and I happened to be the one that they selected one of the servicemen off of the Sacramento roster.
Yeah, so basically, while you were in the service, you were carried on the Sacramento list of servicemen, is that
right? I was carried on the Sacramento roster because they didn't figure the Coast League would fold up and they would lose everybody that was listed on the roster.
Yes, a lot of leagues did go under during the war, didn't they?
Right.
So was Sacramento a Cardinal farm club at that time?
Well, at one time it was, but they went independent, and when they went independent, well, then, see, they made disagreement with the Cardinals that after the end of the war, well, the Cardinals had the right to pick one of the servicemen on their roster.
Did you throw a ball in the service?
I played... we were over in the South Pacific, and when there was a fighting wasn't going on, well, we had to do something, so we played a lot of ball.
But you did see action, actual battle action.
Well, yeah, we were on several islands, and then we went into the Philippines when the Philippines were invaded. Well, we went in the Philippines on a D-2.
You spent you lost 3 years what may have been pretty good years for you too.
They should have been good years anyway.
Well, you're coming off 42 wins in 2 years. You'd have to think they would. You finally came to St. Louis in 47. You spent 47 between St. Louis and Columbus.
Right. The reason I went down to Columbus was. Well, Columbus had a player down there that wasn't doing very much, so they farmed him out down to lower league, and Columbus needed somebody to fill out their roster, and also they were in a battle to get in the playoffs, and,
mm-hmm.
So I went over there and was over there for a little over a month.
You did. You did pretty well while you were there.
I did all right for what time I was there.
Yeah, 6-1 while you were there, I believe. Well, that year with St. Louis, you started one game
Well, I started that after I came back at the end of the season.
Who was it against? You beat them, whoever it was.
Beat Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh, a complete game, your only start. Well, except for, I believe it was 1952, you were a regular member of the rotation, but you relieved almost as much as you started.
Well, they needed relieving also, along with starting, and I was going good, and I was strong and everything, so they used me in both situations.
Cardinals in those years, 50-02-03 in there, looked like they could maybe make a challenge for the pennant. Were they just short of relief pitching?
It was a little bit short, yeah, on relief pitching, and the main pitching wasn't all that strong, but we were contenders, I think, all the time except for 1 year that I was with the Cardinals.
You were the number one man on the staff most of those years. Who else was with you?
Well, there was Harry Breen and George Munger and Howard Paulette.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that was a silly question, yeah.
Yeah.
Those guys were all getting on at that point.
Well, yeah. Paulette and Harry Breen were still having pretty good years. And
a couple of good softballs, weren't they?
Yeah.
I believe it was 1952, and I don't remember this. It was a long time ago, and I was a kid, but I used to follow your. I used to take notebook pages and record what my favorite players did each day from the box scores in the paper, and that way I could always keep track of it. And you were one of the guys I recorded. You pitched a game against the Dodgers, and I think you threw only 90 pitches in the complete game. Do you remember that?
Well, there was a lot of games that I I was in the 80 to 90 pitch range.
Well, yeah, okay. I remember that one as one that really impressed me because it was against, the league leaders.
Well, I had pretty good control, and so they were, you know, hitting the first pitch or the second pitch all mm-hmm. the time, which is a great help for any pitcher.
Well, sure. Is there one game that stands out in your career as maybe the best game you pitched or one that was particularly exciting for you?
Well, it's pretty hard. There was 3 or 4 years there that I had some real good games, but the one that stands out is the one that I came in and relieved and that cinched the pennant with the White Sox.
The one pitch? Was it Vic Fowler grounded into double play?
That makes you look good when you come in and throw one pitch and, you know, and they hit into a double play. Well, it makes you look like a hero.
I remember another game. I don't remember if it was that year or not. There was the writer that wrote up the report talked to you, and you had figured that you had thrown something like 60 pitches in the bullpen, and then you came in, you gave up a ground ball double play and into the game.
Well, that's, when you're relieving, well, that's the way it always goes, you know. Well, not always, but then a great number of times you throw 10 times as many in the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, I think one of the reasons that that they used me in the bullpen there at the last few years was because half a dozen pitches, I was ready. I didn't throw that hard and never had arm trouble, so with very few pitches, I could walk out to there on the mound and be ready.
It's got to be a tremendous advantage. I think, and I meant to look this up, and I didn't, but I think from 1951 through 1953, you had the most wins of...
There was 3 years in a row there that I had 17, 18, and 19.
Yeah, you had 54 wins in those 3 years. I think that was the most wins of anybody in the National League in that three-year period. And you were selected for the All-Star game twice, but they didn't use you. Why not?
Well, one of the times I was warming up in the bullpen, and that was in Philadelphia, and we got rained out.
Oh, the five-inning game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was ready to come in, and and downpour came, and that ended that.
Oh, that's a shame. You finally did get into an All-Star game in 1960.
Yeah.
And your old teammate took you deep.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty good.
I think I could have had a lot. Well, those years that I won all those games, well, I could have had a heck of a lot more, I think. But I was always facing the top pitchers on the other teams, like you know, Spahn and Sane and Roberts and well, Newcomb, and it was always the top pitchers on the other teams that whenever we went in there that I was competing with.
Well, that's the way they do it back then. They save their best for the other team's best.
Yeah.
Now the guys just go every 4 or 5 days, no matter who they're going against.
Yeah, if I could have pitched against their second-line pitchers, well, maybe I could have come up with a few more wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wouldn't have been taking a whole lot for you to bounce up there to 20, I wouldn't imagine. Why did you, I guess you ran into a little bit of trouble as a starter for a couple of years, and then you got to the White Sox after starting a few games. They stuck you in the bullpen full time.
Yeah, the year that I was with Cincinnati, it seemed that everything that they hit was, no matter whether they hit it hard or soft or what, well, it was just in a hole.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those years when they weren't hitting the ball at anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make a heck of a lot of difference.
Well, I bet it can. Well, when you did become a reliever, I guess, arguably, you were probably the best relief pitcher in the American League for about 4 years. They didn't. The save rule was different then, and they didn't use pitchers in the same situation as they do now. But
all you got to do is pitch 4 or 5 innings and get them out for five or six innings, and heck, you've got it.
And they bring in another guy for two, and two more guys for one each, and the game's over. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, totally different philosophy. But you were you went from one of the top two or three starting pitchers in one league to one of the top two or three relief pitchers in the other league, and there's not a whole lot of people ever did anything like that. You, early in your career, I guess your entire career, you pretty much threw a sinker, is that correct?
Right.
And
well,
then,
all through my career, except when I went to relieving and I got ahead, well, even in fact, when I was starting, well, and now and then, well, I used the knuckleball when I got ahead now and then. Because if I could get it over, it was a real good pitch.
When did you first develop the knuckleball?
Oh, when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah? Who was, who were the Leonard and who were the knuckleballers in the league when you were growing up?
There was only just the one knuckleballer in the league at that time.
When I was a kid, I heard about Floyd Wilhelm's knuckleball, so I started throwing away.
Yeah, I think Hoyt was about the only one that was using the knuckleball at that time.
Yeah, I guess you probably preceded him, didn't you?
I pitched a lot against him.
Yeah.
When he was with New York, well, we tangled up, and he was relieving and everything. In the old Polo Grounds and everything, we hooked up several times.
Who was the best pitcher that you saw in your time in the league, in the majors?
Oh, God. It's hard to, over 15 years and with in that era, you had, there was 4 or 5 teams that had real good pitching. Well, the Giants, had Magley and Jansen, and then you had the Boston that was Spahn and Sane, and then you had the Dodgers with Rowe and Newcomb and Ur Well, Pittsburgh had a couple guys. And then Cincinnati had Vandermeer and Blackwell. And, you know, Blackwell, you know, was really, really rough because, you know, he threw from the side. And then you had Philadelphia with Roberts and, mm-hmm. and all. Pretty hard to single out one guy out of all that group.
Yeah, today, you ask somebody who's playing today, and they can come up with a couple of names, but you ask somebody from your time, and the general answer is that, yeah, each team had at least a couple of real good ones, and some of them had three or four.
Well, yeah, and it's the same way with the hitters. Well, in that era, well, you had anywhere from 10 or 12 guys that were real good hitters, and
mm-hmm.
to single out one above... of course, you, Musial and Williams, pretty hard to beat them at any time.
Yeah. That was my next question, not necessarily the best hitter, but who, in your opinion, if you can answer this, who was the best all-around player from your era?
Oh, God. I don't know, unless best all-around player... oh gosh, it's like naming pitchers. Well, you know, you had two or three guys on each club. You had we had Shane Neeson, Musial, and then the Dodgers had Reese and Robinson, and of course you had Snyder and Hodges and
it's
hard to single out. Two or three, even.
When I ask this question, when I ask an American League player, almost invariably they'll say Joe DiMaggio. But when I ask a National League player, they say the same thing you did. You just can't do it. There were just too many of them.
Well, and then, too, I played against all those guys in the American League and that were pretty good players, you know, like Mantle and Barra and... Well, and of course, you had all the rest of those American League teams.
Yeah.
The Boston had several guys, and so to single out any one player as the outstanding all around, well, oh, that it's impossible.
Right, I can believe it. Was there a team in either league that you had either particularly good or bad luck against?
No, I don't think right offhand. My best luck. I think I had against the Giants, the old that when they played in the Polo Grounds.
Mm-hmm.
All I had to do was throw my glove out there, and I had a real good record against them. The rest of them were, you know, about a toss up. I think I had good years against the Dodgers and Philadelphia, Cincinnati. I won a few games, Pittsburgh, and then also the Cubs. And and Boston, I have won a few games against them, but it was tough pitching against those teams when they when you had to face the opposing best pitcher all the time.
Yeah, well, that's going to have to be a tough task, whoever you're going against when you got the ace of the other team. The 1959 World Series. You did a heck of a job at a save, but you got a loss.
Yeah, I got a loss.
Is it Hodges? Hodges hit one out on you, didn't he?
Well, it wasn't. That wasn't really the what. It was a ground ball that went through the infield that really gave me the loss.
Oh yeah, who hit that?
Oh, I forget who hit the ground ball, but it wasn't a hard hit. Well, it was one of those balls that just had eyes that was just out of the reach of one of the infielders.
Found its way through.
Yeah. It wasn't a really real hard hit ball, but it was a ball that just rolled through, which otherwise would have been an easy out, and the situation would have been a lot different.
Well, I remember you had a very good series, two runs in 8 1/3 innings.
Well, yeah, outside of the one pitch.
Right. Yeah.
Which nobody ever lets me forget.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up there. Talking about home runs, you were not a hitter, but you hit a home run. You remember that?
Yeah.
Who'd you hit off?
I hit it off of Forrest Maine. He happened to be in the Pioneer League when I was in the Pioneer League, and he was in the Yankee chain at that time, and he was playing for Idaho Falls.
And was he with Pittsburgh when you...
But he was with Pittsburgh the year that I did that, and I hit it in Greenberg Gardens.
Well, that's good. It helped a couple of guys then, didn't it?
Yeah. But the funny situation, the home run I hit, was it tied the ball game up, and then the next inning, I got a loss for it.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Nice try, anyhow.
Yeah.
It's been just about 50 years since you began playing professionally, and the game has changed. What do you think the major change is since 1941?
Well, it's the expansion of all the teams and the degrading of the game.
Do you think that there has been a dilution in the talent?
Oh, sure.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You spread that talent around, 12 teams rather than 8, you're bound not to have as good a talent.
You know, I firmly believe that. I absolutely believe it. But people will argue that there are more people alive today in the United States, and the percentage of those playing professional baseball is not as great as it was back 40, 50 years ago. But you just see three or four guys almost, or maybe more, on every team that couldn't have played in the 50s. And it's got to be the fact that there's just only so many, I guess, that were meant to have the ability to make it.
Well, I think when I was playing, you had minor leagues that, especially the AAA minor leagues were as good as some of your major league clubs are.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
Right.
Because they just didn't have rosters enough to take all these mediocre ball players up. Well, now they got the mediocre ball players up, and your AAA ball clubs are like lower class.
Yeah. Well, I guess back in your day, the Coast League, probably the top four or five teams in the Coast League were probably every bit as good as half the major league teams.
Well, in that era, you had in the Coast League, you had the fellows that were just coming back out of the majors, and also you had those that were just going into the majors.
Mm-hmm.
So you had guys that was they were almost all with major league caliber players.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That sure isn't the case in the high minors today. Once you left the majors after 61, you coached a year in Portland. Is that right?
Right.
Why did you not stay in coaching? Was it not something that satisfied you?
Well, I would have to left home, and we had children at that time that needed they needed more than just a mother at home. They needed a mother and a father and everything. So That many years of playing, well, I decided, well, it was time to hang up the suitcases and stay home for a while.
Yeah, both can get old and on the road all the time. How many kids do you have?
Well, we have three.
Grandkids now?
We have one grandchild.
Oh, so it's not a big family.
No.
Excuse me. Did you save souvenirs from your career?
Oh, I got a few of them laying around.
Anything particularly exciting, or just small mementos?
Well, I have three or four scrapbooks, and I got a cedar chest full of baseballs that were. What happened was the trainers. Especially when I was with the Cardinals, well, the trainer there was kept a record and put them all on the balls that most all of them that our games had won. He put the statistics on all those balls.
Good. Well, that's a good thing to have.
Also, a lot of them that when I was with the White Sox, I have quite a few from there.
Great. Those are great things to have, I bet.
And I got almost a cedar chest full of them.
Wow. Do you get much fan mail today?
Oh, quite a bit. I just answered the stack I had here a couple of days ago, and I see there's four or five more, especially this time of year, you know, around Christmas and everything, that you get quite a few. But I probably get half a dozen a week anyway.
Wow. Do you sign autograph requests?
Oh, yeah.
Good. What do you think of the card show things that they're going on now, the fellows are charging?
Well, that's ridiculous.
It's not something that should be done.
Well, no, I don't think so. Gosh, with the money they're making now, well, they should do it for free.
I agree.
For the kids, and they're supposed to be idols and setting examples and everything. Well, I don't think they're setting a very good example for charging kids for writing their name down on a piece of paper.
I think an awful lot of wrong examples are being set, but I agree with you. I think that's great. I understand some of these guys will get $8,000 or $10,000 to do a baseball card show.
Well, yeah, 76 are already making the millions, and they want to charge more.
Did you see in the paper, I guess it was in today's paper, or maybe a couple days ago, where, who was it, Sean Dunstan was asked to do a show for charity, and he said he'd do it for $4,500 or something, and then he decided at the last minute that that wasn't enough, and he wanted another $1,200 or he wouldn't show up.
He's not making enough in salary, so he's got to be...
Yeah, I think that's just a shame.
It's kind of ridiculous.
If you went back 50 years ago, would you do this all again?
Well, yeah, I can't complain. I had a good life, saw a lot of people.